Ask for interest in your prayers. I've thoroughly enjoyed this day. Glad we got to come. And I do ask for your prayers. A lot of them on my mind. You know, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. That's not my text. But that's what I thought. That's what I thought before I got up here. But I do have one or two. Colossians chapter 3. If ye, we heard about the ye this morning, who the ye is. We heard that Christ died for ye, his people. If ye then be risen with Christ. I guess I'm one of those practical preachers. I know I have a hope of heaven. We've heard about heaven and the resurrection, but you know, I still got to be here. I still work with people and talk to people who have trouble with this life. And part of the reason we have this trouble is because of this next part of this verse. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I believe Christ is reigning right now. I don't think he's coming back to reign 1,000 years. He's reigning now. And I'm looking forward to seeing him. But I still have to be here for a while. And when we forget that and start thinking about our troubles, and we're kind of like Israel, we murmur and we complain and we get down. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Your affection, the things you love, your thoughts, where should they be? Amen. You ought to be up, hadn't it? For you're dead. Now, wait a minute. We're dead? What? I thought we were alive. We are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know what he says at the end of that? Comfort one another with these words. I've been comforted this morning, today, this afternoon. Comforted. That I got a hope that's somewhere else. Not in this world. But Alan, I had the privilege of preaching Brother Andy Anderson's funeral down there at Chickasha. And the guy that owns the funeral home's name is Larry Severe. At this funeral, I told Brother Larry, I said, someday, all that good work you've done out there is going to be undone. And he just smiled. But it is. What a glorious doctrine, the resurrection morning. Now, let's talk about his people. Here's where the practical stuff comes. You had the sweet stuff. Now I'm going to put on the duty stuff, if you will. You know, the scripture over in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. You've probably heard that preached on 20 times in the last few years. If my people shall humble themselves and pray. But Brother Joe was going to take my text this morning a while ago. What are you starting to say? Pray for America. Well, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked way. Then shall I hear from heaven and shall heal their land. what we want to do. We want to do our thing. And I got, I'm not one of them preachers that keeps a lot of scriptures in my head. I never have had that ability. I think I know where I'm going. No, but I'll go there anyway. Behold, this is Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. Now, I think it's Brother Joseph when we talked about there's more than one salvation. You can be, I believe we're saved eternally. Christ took care of that. But I also think he gives us how to be saved or delivered in time. And that's where you come into that 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And here's one of those buts. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sounds serious. But if you go to the end of that chapter on 2 Chronicles 7:14, you see the results of not doing what the Lord said. Now, I was going to talk about each one of those sections on being humble. If my people will humble themselves and pray, and we may do that, you know, it's hard for us to be humble. But you know what the opposite of that is pride. What does the Lord say about pride? Over there in Proverbs 6 and 16. Six things does the Lord hate? Pride's the first one. He says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves. He's talking to the elders and the younger. See, you see, Satan's like a roaring lion. And he will find a way. We got to keep that armor on, don't we? I don't know if I've ever used a scripture out of Joel, but this is of the Lord. And I want to read this to you. Chapter 2, he says, therefore, verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. There's that very last part of that second chronicle. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. If they saw something they didn't like, they'd rend their garments, make some kind of show. Rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. If my people will humble themselves and pray. I appreciate what Brother Joe said. We need to be praying. These two churches got together and prayed. I think it's time, brother. I think it's time to start that practice again. You see, that verse over there in 2 Chronicles, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that not only will heal your nation, that'll heal your family, that'll heal you. You got problems? Yeah, we all do. We all stand in need of healing. Not just the physical, the spiritual. We need to turn to God. He's merciful. He saved you, Brother Andy. I believe in a personal Savior. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know how blessed you are to see these truths? Sometimes I think we take it for granted. We forget the God that delivered us and our nation. And if you're looking to the government for salvation, you're looking in the wrong place. Because it's His people that will deliver this nation. If my people will humble themselves and pray, what do you think would happen if all of God's people prayed? And this is not going to happen, and I don't think it ever would tend to. But it's going to start with you, Brother Allen. It's going to start with me. This is where it's got to start. My people will humble themselves and pray. What does prayer do? Well, it saves the nation. Esther prayed. It saved Israel. Hannah prayed. Then we have Samuel. James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Was it Elijah that prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years? Prayers are answered. You know, it was said this morning, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's not now. Do we pray about our decisions that we make in our lives? I think we ought to be praying for our children. We ought to be praying for our brethren in the church. We ought to be praying for the church that it might grow. But it's going to begin with you. You've got to take up your cross daily. You have to be in the Word. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We sang a song a while ago, and I couldn't remember which one it was, but it says, "And since thou bidst me seek thy face." Have you sought his face? What does that mean? There's a verse over there, I can't remember where it's at right now, but it says, "Seek him while he may be found." Call upon him. Isn't that prayer? You know, there's a sad verse over in Romans chapter 3 about that. I'll turn over and maybe. Y'all familiar with that, I'm sure. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that standeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Did we need a Savior? Why did Jesus come? If my people will humble themselves. He says he came to save his people from their sins. I don't know why I'm so dry. But they're all gone out of the way. They're all together becoming prosperable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Well, it's not my righteousness. I got to go over and get... There's a 2 Timothy... I believe something because the Spirit of God works in us. I used to be raised up in another bunch of people, and they would tell me that I need to be good, and Brother Allen knows me pretty well. He knows I can't be good. I couldn't go from one Sunday to the next and be good. I felt doomed. Lost. And she's not here with me, but about age 17, I started going with a little old gal that's been such a blessing to me. I probably should have talked about marriage, but she told me about this doctrine. Boy, it sounded good. I hadn't heard it. "But God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I was fearful that I wasn't going to make it. God didn't give me that. But the preachers are using it all over the place. It's scaring you into heaven. Anyway, who has saved us and called us with that holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when you accepted it. Before the world began. You know, the Lord is still saving people just like he always has. He's just the same today. We sing that. Folks that's been under that sound, or it's, you got to do this and you got to do that. I had one come to me the other day, says, you know, I'm not sure that all the called aren't saved. What? All the called are saved. But see, they don't look at called as a, they look at it as an imitation. And in some places, that's the definition of it. But it's not always an imitation. When the, it's a summons. Thank you, brother. You're going to come when the Lord calls you. Before the world began. This good news that we have, you know, talking about pride, there's a verse over there, in verse 31, First Corinthians chapter 1 says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's a verse over there in Jeremiah talks about, don't glory in your strength. Don't glory in your riches. Don't glory in whatever it was. But glory in this, that you knoweth and understandeth that I am God. But right here, there's also, it kind of tears up some of that other doctrine. It says, verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made into us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We've been doing some glorying today, I think. In the Lord. If my people. Well, Brother Don, how do I get to be one of my people? How do you get to be one of them? Well, you can't get to be. If you got the desire to be, it's because you are one. Because Christ, it is before the foundation of the world. They don't understand that. This fellow wanted to come talk to me. You know, he hadn't got the opportunity yet, but he said, oh, I've got so many questions. He's beginning to, the Lord's opening his eyes. He's doubting this, his ability to get himself into heaven by some decision. And he says, the called. I says, if you're called, you're saved. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, not of you. But let me get back to my text. Talked about if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's some of the verses that that Ethiopian eunuch was reading. You know, it doesn't take a lot of us to get someone delivered, not saved eternally. But the Lord sends many, many times one man to one man. He sent Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch. He himself went to that. You know, man tried to save that wild Gadarene. Someone said about, talked about. Man tried to save him. They chained him up. They tried to put clothes on him. They couldn't hold him with the chains. But the man, Christ Jesus, saved him. One man to one man. There's a fellow over there named Bartimaeus. This. Surrounded. The Lord was surrounded by people. And he cries out. What did he cry out? Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. Thank you. And all these people. I mean, now, Brother Thomas, I want you to imagine all these people around Jesus wanting something from him. all of them saying, Jesus, do this, Jesus, do that. He heard Bartimaeus. And amazing, this scripture has amazed me. For the first time I read it, it says, Jesus stood still. That's a personal Savior.
Amen.
He stood still for this one blind man. And he said, what would you have me to do? Oh, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And he did. You have a personal Savior. I trust I do. Some days I feel like I do. Some days I doubt. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn. Jeremiah over there in his place, it says, Lord, if you turn me, I'll turn. Yeah, if the Lord turns you, you're going to turn. But we have the tendency to go our own way. Jonah did it. He got turned, didn't he? We have that tendency. Humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. That's a, I'll call it a formula for salvation, for deliverance. And Brother Don didn't say you're going to get eternally saved by doing this, but you'll get saved. He'll save you from the pitfalls of this old ugly world. You know that perilous times. It says in over there in Timothy, in the last days will be perilous times. You know what the first thing mentioned? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know, that's completely opposite of what the Lord says we ought to be. That, was it a rich young ruler asking, what must I do to be saved? How do I inherit eternal life? What question was even wrong? Well, if you will be saved or complete, whatever the Lord said there, you know, do this, this, and this. Oh, I've done all that. Okay, then do this. Sell all you have and give to the poor. All them apostles, they said, well, who then can be saved? He went away sorrowful. I can't get saved now. Yeah, he almost made it. You know what? That king over almost was convinced to be a Christian. Agrippa, was it? He almost made it too. I had some tell me that he just didn't make it. I shouldn't have chased that. Now I lost my train of thought. And then he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. But here's the order that the Lord intended for us. He says to love the Lord thy God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength, and all your mind. Thank you. Because I'm losing my mind. I had an MRI today, and they didn't tell me if there's anything there or not. But Brother Bill says, you know, I don't like to have them. I said, I don't like to either. And they strap you down there, and for 45 minutes, they had me in this machine. And Brother Bill said, I don't like that. And I said, I don't either. You know what I did? I said, I preached. For 45 minutes, I preached inside that thing to me, but it got me through it. You see, that's one of those things that the scriptures will get you through. And it was just a little thing. But if you're claustrophobic, they can be torture. But I was comforted. Matter of fact, I went to sleep. I couldn't believe that, brother. So if my own preaching puts me to sleep. But it got me through it. You know, God is so good. He delivers us on so many different ways. Prayer helps. If you're praying for each other, you'll be surprised at the deliverance. I stand before you today, I believe, because my wife prayed for me back in September 11th, 1995. She had been praying for me every morning, and I'm going to tell you what that was. That was the Oklahoma City bombing. I was 36 stories, and God gets all the glory for this. 36 stories in the air, two blocks south of that bombing. I happened to be sitting down. The two ladies standing next to me were knocked down. I believe that the Lord answers prayer. Folks that weren't supposed to be there were there in Paris. Folks that were supposed to be there weren't because they didn't go into work or whatever. And Brother Don, you know, that sounds pretty good. Lord delivered you from that. But I'm going to talk about the ways for a minute. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end there is destruction. But had I gone my way that day, I'm talking about a literal path, Brother Randy, that I was going to take, I wouldn't be here. Now, Brother, no, you can't say that. I backtracked this. I would have been at the Owen Robinson at 6th Street at 9:02 when that went off. I missed my exit. And that put me south in downtown instead of north of the building at 9:02. You don't think God doesn't deliver? He gets the glory. He wasn't through with me yet or I wouldn't be here. We are here to glorify Him. He created us for His glory. Well, Brother Don, oh yeah, that sounds real good. How do you know that? That was on a Wednesday. Saturday morning about 2 o'clock, this was all rehearsed. In the morning, I woke up with David and all this was rehearsed in my mind. I think the Lord told me He saved me. The Lord's arm is not too short. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land, their family, them. I'm adding that on purpose. And I believe it. Anybody know of anybody? I mean, I work with people that their life is a train wreck. Wheels are falling off and they're on the tracks headed to the canyon. Because they won't. They know. I believe they're children of God. I've talked to them enough times, but they won't change their ways. But He's so merciful. Sometimes we got to get to the bottom. Sometimes you got to be in that horrible pit before you look up. God is able. God doth deliver and yet will deliver. There's a scripture over there somewhere that says that. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. I left that out. That's pretty important, I think. Now, we know that Israel did all this because they spent 70 years in Babylon, played numerous other things. I believe we ought to turn back to this, back to the God that provided it for us. The God that's blessed us to understand some parts of it. But David, we're not going to understand. I don't understand near enough of it. But sometimes the Lord will just show you something. Some little verse in there, he'll just open it up and like that one with when it says Jesus stood still amongst all that was going on. You know what? Sometimes we need to stand still. I'll close with this verse. Stand still and know that I am God. There's your salvation. It's not in Washington, D.C. It's not in the preacher. It's if my people will turn. They will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And it worked for the nation. And it'll work for your family. Isn't it amazing how families are attacked? Definition. The very definition of families is attacked. Families was a foundation established by God. I got to sit down before I started a whole other sermon.